Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm releasing my infrastructure plan. Infrastructure is one of the most basic parts of our state and local government. The dirty secret that we have been doing and dodging for too long is that we are painfully behind. As a state government, we haven't been able to adequately provide the resources to maintain the roads, streets, bridges that we currently have, let alone the building of roads, streets, and bridges that we will need to maintain a competitive edge in the future and address our needs. We talk a lot about problems of deficits and debt in this state. Normally, when we talk about that, we are referring to budgets. We need to start talking about the infrastructure deficit that has been steadily building in Iowa over the past couple of decades. It needs to receive the same attention. Every day, every week, every year, it is deteriorating, and we haven't been able to keep up. Construction and infrastructure is one of the most inflationary sectors of the economy, and the longer we wait, the more we are going to pay. We have talked about this problem many times, but we have never done anything, and we have simply been sitting by watching the situation drift towards a crisis. That is why today, as a gubernatorial candidate, I am advocating for a 10-cent increase in the gas tax to be increased by 2 cents a year over the next 5 years. In addition to this increase, we need to catch up for the time that has been wasted by this governor. I am also advocating that one-fifth of the current and future surpluses be dedicated to one-time infrastructure spending in the state. The money raised by these proposals would be dedicated solely to maintaining, upgrading, and laying the future foundation of our state's infrastructure. Roads, bridges, broadband, water quality, school upgrades would all be addressed in this plan. I know some will say that the gas tax increase is politically unpopular. I believe it is perceived that way because we have never explained it well enough and our leaders have failed to lead. With that, I'll take any of your questions.
Senator, this is Kay Henderson.
Hi, Kay.
Folks like Walter Mondale and others who have proposed taxes in the past have suffered at the ballot box. What makes you think you have the explanatory skills to avoid what has happened to others who have been advocates of tax increases?
I'm putting this in context of an income tax cut. As you know, my proposal a couple weeks ago would be the largest middle-class income tax in the history of this state. And with Iowa families averaging maybe up to $1,000 in a tax cut, a $50 tax annual increase in gas tax looks pretty minor and is very manageable. And in that context, I'll be able to explain to Iowans that their net income tax cut and disposable income will be greater.
Senator, this is Jason Noble with the Register.
Yeah, Jason.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Maybe you can explain how this proposal kind of interacts with that tax proposal. Don't you intend to pay for some of the tax revenues lost with the surplus? And is this also tapping into the state's budget surplus?
Well, the gas tax is going to be a separate revenue source, and that
right.
is all controlled.
But you're also
as
talking
you know.
About capturing a portion of the.
Yes,
state
the other part of this plan is capturing a portion of the surplus. That would be about $180,000 under the current surplus, but it's limited to 5 years, and it's only 20%. So that is to capture some revenue for the most critical needs that we are exploring right now. And I could probably just mention one issue that falls in that category, and that's increasing broadband to especially rural Iowa that both Representative Olson and Governor Branstad have talked about. Neither one of them have talked about how they're going to pay for it. And so this is where I say we have to be honest with how we address these issues, and we have to be a straight talker. And on top of that, we have a large surplus, and we have a large deficit when it comes to infrastructure. So if we don't pay for it now, we'll be either paying for it greater in the future, or it will disintegrate and decline.
I guess my question was, are you speaking for that surplus twice here when you say that you'll use it to offset the revenue loss and the tax cut, and then also use it for revenue or for infrastructure improvements?
No. I am the infrastructure is a one-time limited surplus revenue source, and the middle class income tax cut it started with a surplus, and it will be coming from the growth of the budget in future years. So these are what I call jump start solutions that will be maintained by the growth of our budget.
Senator James Lynch of the Gazette. Essentially,
hey James, how are you?
I mean, I'm doing fine, thank you. You're calling this building a better Iowa, but essentially, isn't this a stimulus program to create jobs and stimulate economic activity in the state?
Partially, it will stimulate the economy and it will produce jobs, but it's not done for that purpose alone or primarily. It's done to really affect the infrastructure needs of roads, of bridges, and you know we're catching up from years of neglect. So we certainly don't want a malfunction in any of our bridges. And I think it's time that a governor leads from the front and not from behind.
How confident are you that the votes are there for a gas tax increase? And I have a question. Are you talking about a 10-cent increase? Or 10 cents and then 2 cents for 5 years?
No, it's 10 cents in total. It's 2 cents a year for the next 5 years. So we will ramp it up slowly. So the average motorist will find that it's an additional $10, $12 a year. I think part of our problem is that when we talk about any tax or any fee, you have politicians running for the closet. They certainly talk about wanting to solve the problem, but they don't know how to bundle these issues together to talk about some real solutions. And so what I've done is that I proposed a middle-class tax cut, and the burden on them will be minimized by my tax cut. And yet at the same time, we create a funding stream that will solve most of our infrastructure problems. And so we have to look at this in the big picture. I think in the past, what's happened is that we've taken these issues like individually and we've siloed them. So we rise and fall on any one issue and we forget or we don't see the big picture. I think one of the advantages of what I've learned in healthcare reform is that you bring everything to the table at once, and you then work with your legislative colleagues and your executive to find which ones you can get approved early and build on those successes until the entire project is approved. And that's the kind of consensus-making executive I will be. I've proven that in the past as being a prototype of how to get tough projects through the legislature, and more importantly, I think we have to go out and sell this to the public and let the public see the advantages of this, and that's what I plan on doing.
So, Jack, this is James Lynch again. Are you saying the votes aren't there now, but you can sell it to the public and they'll bring the legislators around?
Yeah, I'm saying that the executive has to take a lead here, and we have Governor Brandt said that has been fairly benign on his approval of this. As my statement said, even his task force headed by Former Chief of Staff and Economic Development Authority Director Alan Tomes recommended a 10-cent increase. The stakeholders did. They did a very good job explaining why this would be good for the state, and he backed off from that. They would be there if we had leadership. A broad group of interests already support this. And so I think this is a failure on Governor Branstad, and now he's trying to cobble together a bunch of fees, taxes, and revenue from other state budgets to come up with some plan to provide an alternative to a gas tax. And that just gets us deeper in the hole. It's bad fiscally. You know, I'm a businessman. In my buildings that I build, if I defer maintenance for too long, it becomes too expensive to replace. And especially in my kind of business, if it's not maintained, it falls apart. I'm going to run a campaign on issues, not themes. For too long, we've let politicians in this state talk about problems, discuss problems, dissect problems, but never coming up with a solution to the problem. This has been studied time and time again by commissions appointed by the current governor and other stakeholders. They all have the same recommendations. We need a sustainable and predictable source to know how we are going to maintain these projects. That is the basis for this proposal. It's not something I dreamt up. It is coming from people who have been studying this for a long time. And as a gubernatorial candidate, I want this campaign to be on issues. I've always believed that the best politics is good public policy, and that's where I think we can have a discussion with the citizens of this state.